All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just on the Ukraine real quick. I've got a little bit on it later in the show, but just so we're all on the same page when it comes to the Ukraine. Obviously, there's been a mass escalation in the Ukraine-Russia war. My opinion, caused by Blumenthal and Graham going up there and stirring it up. You just don't know what is going on, you know, with the deep state, with the establishment, with the globalists, because Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal are both globalists. What did they bring there? Did they bring bribery money to Ukraine? Did they bring some sort of threat to Ukraine? Whatever it may be, more promises to Ukraine, because we need to remember something. Ukraine has, I'm trying to clean this up a little bit, but Ukraine has the globalists by the cojones. Because a lot of the money laundering operations have gone on from the globalists, whether you're talking about Privat Bank, Metabiota, partially owned by the Biden family, namely Hunter Biden, which it was a direct conduit to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So you got Metabiota, you got Privat Bank, you have Burisma, which was paying Hunter Biden $83,000 a month to be an expert on a fossil fuels company's board, all of those things. You have Romney connections, Pelosi connections. You have our bioweapons labs that were there unbeknownst to any United States citizen. So Ukraine has us. Ukraine namely has the globalists. Notice that Trump has no fear of Zelensky, but whenever Zelensky comes onto American soil and he gets into the presence of somebody like Nancy Pelosi, she calls him the second coming of Winston Churchill, and even named, I think she called him like the second coming of like Francis of Assisi's or something like that. I can't remember, but actually called him the second coming of Winston Churchill and the second coming of a saint, because she's been money laundering through Ukraine for forever. It's also the petri dish for not only bioweapons labs, but CBDC infrastructure. Most of, if not all of Ukraine is now central bank digital currency. So it's the test market for all of those things, as well as parking, again, bioweapons labs. So everything needs to be hidden and burned to the ground there. And that's no problem when you're part of the bourgeois leftist globalist elitist like Zelensky. If you go around and you see a tour of his house and his cabinet's houses, you know, he's banned all opposition media, banned all opposition parties, banned the Russian Orthodox Church, canceled the latest rounds of election, but yet you're going there and fighting for quote unquote democracy. It's all a lie. So what of course happened was actually, as Bannon says in the pregame, was a brilliant strike. And the problem is that we are the ones who actually struck Russia. It's either us or it's MI6 or it's both. That's really it. That's who struck deep into Russia, possibly, because it depends on which source you believe, possibly eliminating 30 to 40% of their nuclear weapons delivery aircraft. Now, that what does that have to do with Ukraine? Nothing. But it's very strange that they did that assault right after Graham and Blumenthal went over there, who hold the delusions of a 30-year non-nuclear war with Russia. Therefore, they go and eliminate their delivery systems for nuclear weapons. A 30-year non-nuclear war bankrupting Russia and then dividing Russia into several different European countries. That's the globalist wish list that will never happen. And the reason why they're going after Russia is because Russia refuses to capitulate. Oh, there he is. Tom's a Putin fan. It doesn't mean that you're a fan of anybody if you simply tell the truth. There are people that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that are going to hell. Every demon believes that. So they're actually espousing the truth without espousing the lordship or living under the lordship or the worship. Russia refuses to bow the knee to the WEF as the globalist leftists and many in the United States have, whether it's WEF. WEF is sort of a mascot. It's a flowing sort of in and out mascot for the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist coming out of Beijing, coming out of London. Beijing is like a redheaded stepchild. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out. Sometimes they're rebelling against the globalists. Sometimes they're in with them. Sometimes they're the Stasi for the globalists. Sometimes they're not, whatever. But anyway, so it's out of London. It's out of Glasgow. It's out of Paris, out of the United States, out of Washington, D.C., the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist. And then all that Ukraine is basically a money laundering operation. And the war is a way to cover up the money laundering operation. when you ended up in 2014 with Poroshenko in power, he had to be put out because he had to be palace cooed out by Jake Sullivan, by Lindsey Graham again, and John McCain at the time. Very strange. Isn't it, Aaron? Isn't it strange Lindsey Graham shows up and right after that it's mass escalation every time? Yeah. Very weird, isn't it? Because Lindsey Graham and John McCain showed up, and then there was this huge color revolution that escorted right out of office the duly elected president with very similar means to J6, by the way, which is just, of course, a coincidence. Very, very, very similar, just kind of reversed, but very similar. Where they warned, where you had McCain, you had Victoria Nuland, you had McCain there. I thought Victoria Nuland was a Democrat and McCain was a Republican. No, they're all the same. They just wear the name Republican so we don't put a legitimate Republican in there. Remember, Lindsey Graham, Aaron pulled it up last night. His Liberty score is 43%. He votes with us 40% of the time and with Democrats 60% of the time. So they're out there on the ground. You have Americans on the ground. I mean, high-ranking officials, actually, on the ground, Victoria Nuland being one of them, handing out water bottles to the insurrectionists. Remember what happened was in 2014, where you ended up with Ukraine bombing the Donbass itself. So right now, the battle is over the Donbass region, the Luhansk and Donetsk regions, the Russian-speaking regions that asked Vladimir Putin to come in, just like Crimea. So in 2014, there it is. There we go. Aaron's the man. Aaron, you can, if you find any pictures, you flow them through. It won't throw me off.
Okay.
But anyway, so we have Poroshenko in power at this time. He's not pro-Russian. He's pro not going into NATO to piss Russia off. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to actually go into NATO. So here comes Victoria Nuland, and here comes Jake Sullivan. Here comes John McCain. Here comes Hussein Obama. Here comes all of them. They're saying, you know what, we want to have a color revolution. Get Poroshenko out. Put Yatsen Yuk in. It's all on our phone call. It's all on the phone call with Victoria Nuland. But anyway, so they have a color revolution. Kick Poroshenko out. And then that very government starts bombing the Donbass themselves using the Azov Battalion. So just to think of the dichotomy of all this. In World War II, we had the Russians battling with us against the Nazis. Now we're battling with the Nazis against Russia. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Isn't that weird how that all works? You know, and then they call you and I Nazis when we're against battling with the Nazis. So they cause a color revolution to unseat a duly elected president in 2014. And then that new government bombs its own territory, its Russian-speaking territory. And this goes on for years. And then in 1991, you had Herbert Walker Bush, that administration, and or early on the Clinton administration, tell the Russian leadership, we will not advance one country. We will not advance one country towards Russia. NATO will not add any countries. Since then, they've added 11. Aaron's put up the map. They've encroached all the way up to their border. So, and Russia never launched. And all we're always hearing is, this is going to spread. Next thing you know, they're going into Poland. Next thing you know, they're going into Georgia. Next thing you know, they're going into Georgia. Then they're going to march on France. Why didn't they do that since 1991? When we violated our own promise. There it is, right there. It's right there. We didn't, all those colors that you're seeing that are not gray, we promised we wouldn't do. Basically, there's some that are, you have to go by the color coordination. So, I mean, I don't want to go country by country. It's just simply from 1991 until now, after promising not to encroach one foot closer to Russia via adding countries to NATO, we've added 11. And it's all Slava Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine good, Russia bad. It's wrong. They're both bad. They're both totalitarian dictatorships. Both of them are. It's like trying to decide between decide between Iraq and Iran and the Iraq-Iran war. I mean, it's like trying to decide between Shiite and Sunni. Which one are you going to pick? There it is right there. There's the expansion. Look at it. We promised that would not occur, and yet there it is, and it occurred. And then it's all Russia bad, Ukraine good. It's not that way. So Ukraine ends up with it right after Dickie, Tricky, Dickie, Saigon, Blumenthal, Richard Blumenthal, and Lindsey Graham come for a visit. And then Lindsey Graham badmouths Trump on international media, saying that Trump is not the one with all the cards. We have cards in the Senate too. No, you don't. You have nothing. No, you have nothing, Lindsey. But anyway, he, in my opinion, instigates this insurgency into Russia, where they have drone strikes inside of Russia. They actually had, they had vehicles already inside of Russia with drones on the inside of them, and they bombed a very strategically important bridge and eliminated somewhere between 20 and 30%, maybe up to 40% of their aircraft nuclear, their nuclear weapon, nuclear missile delivery or nuclear bomb delivery aircraft. So there's this massive escalation, and those nuclear delivery aircraft have nothing to do with the Ukraine war because they're not, wouldn't be used in the Ukraine war. They're not needed. Russia can reach Ukraine with ICBMs, so they don't need their aircraft. They can eliminate Ukraine from existence in about 8 minutes. That's the end of it. It's just so everybody knows, these idiots on the screen right here, these are people that are stupid. Remember, leave that up there. That's a good one just for a minute. These people are stupid. What they honestly believe, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you don't fear, the fear of the Lord means you're afraid of going to hell. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Respectively, that's Proverbs 9:10 and Matthew 10:28. These people don't have any of that. You have a man in the middle who plays the piano with his penis. And then you have two globalist leftist bourgeois elitist anal puppets. That's who those guys are. So they have no fear of God. They don't understand that you will not, I'm talking about them. You will not survive a nuclear war. They really honestly do not understand that because they do not have wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you don't even have the beginning ingredients of being smart without that. They don't. You have Lindsey Graham, who's lived as a bachelor his whole life, right? But anyway, so that's, they're over instigating war because the actions that were taken by Ukraine have nothing to do with the current strategic war situation that's going on in Ukraine by taking out those aircraft. They would allegedly benefit, taking out those aircraft would allegedly benefit NATO, not Ukraine. And somehow these two idiots show up over there and 30% of Russia's nuclear delivery aircraft are eliminated. That's kind of weird, isn't it? And remember, they're representing the bourgeois leftist globalist elitists, the NATOs of the world, the EUs of the world. And by the way, let me just while this picture's up. Here they are in downtown Kyiv. How is this a war? I mean, could you just hang out in downtown Berlin in World War II? Or downtown London in World War II? A lot of London was rubble. I mean, you couldn't just hang around. You had to be very wary of aircraft strafing and bombing when you were in London, World War II. That's London. Here we are in Kyiv, completely safe. You have Volodymyr Zelensky can travel the globe without ever worrying about ever being shot down. Putin, on the other hand, was 2 weeks ago, was in his own helicopter, you know, flying over some of the battle areas, and several Ukrainian drone strikes, you know, attacked this helicopter, and then Russia escalated then, and then it's calmed down, and then Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal show up over there, and now it escalates again, as if they don't want peace, because what they really want is this 30-year war. Why would they want a 30-year war? Because they want to defang Russia or bankrupt Russia? No, that's what they will say, but what they want is all of that money going into the military-industrial complex, which then goes into NGOs, which pays them personally. That's what they want, because the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's what's going on in Ukraine, and I just had to cover it because I might not get to it. Who knows? And it's already 9:21. So anyway, let's go to the big, beautiful bill again. You're like, Tom, we've already talked about that ad nauseum. Well, the title of the show, I forgot to send it in to Aaron before the show, but the title of the show you'll see afterwards is Elon versus Trump? Elon versus Trump? Question mark? And by the way, let me just state for the record, Elon is tactically correct, unless Trump is thinking something that we don't know. Here it is. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. Listen, here we have, who we had. Could everybody agree this is the smartest man on the planet? I don't care about the one who has the highest IQ. This guy, occasionally you'll see the videos, this guy with the highest IQ in the world. I'm like unimpressed. And by the way, what's he ever accomplished? Nothing. Here's the smartest man in the world is Elon Musk. And listen, again, Twitter is not good, Okay, I love Twitter. I mean, I love being on Twitter, but it's not fair to people like you and me. It's run by Linda Yaccarino. So, I mean, Linda Yaccarino is the one who created Peacock from NBC. So she is talking about a globalist leftist, WEF attending globalist leftist bourgeois elitist. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses to what Elon does. Elon was a liberal up till 2 years ago. You know, a traditional liberal, not a leftist, a liberal. So I'm not lock, stock, and barrel into Elon, but remember the reason why he was brought in was for the Department of Government Efficiency. It's not good that right now we've lost Elon.
Yeah,
that's not good, folks. Elon should be very excited about the big, beautiful bill. Because as Elon said, it's either big or it's beautiful. It can't be both. So if it's big, it cannot be beautiful. It can only be big. It can only be beautiful if it's not big. And he's right, by the way, because this adds trillions of dollars to debt. It doesn't matter. Well, Russ Fote came out and was talking to one of the talking head shows. And he says that this is going to eliminate $1.5 trillion of debt in the next 10 years. How are you even going to control that if Hakeem Jeffries is running the House in 2 years? How are you going to control that when you are 7 years out of office when the savings is supposed to occur? So that's just typical DC propaganda coming from the Trump administration. Oh, Tom's turned on Trump. I have not turned on Trump, but you cannot be a sycophant for anybody but Jesus, because only Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and Yahweh are God. Everybody else is a fallible human being who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me, you, everybody else, Romans 3:23. So Elon is right here. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. He is absolutely correct, even if Caroline Leavitt says he's not. Because it is. They're fully funding NGOs. Again, Democratic Party NGOs. Democratic Party NGOs, fully staffed by NGOs, spending money to ban our speech, spending money on abortions, spending money on mass illegal migration, spending money on propaganda, hiring Democratic Party consultants, hiring Democratic Party attorneys, and spending money on Democratic Party campaigns is all still being fully funded in the big, beautiful bill. Why? Because Trump is afraid of the political consequences of not funding these things, and the Democrats coming and making false accusations about people dying because USAID has been cut. And we'll get to that in just a minute, because that's the latest lies, that 300,000 kids are dying, just like you need to stand 6 feet apart. Just like over a million Americans have died of COVID. That's not even remotely correct. They can't even prove anybody's actually died of COVID. I mean, they can't, because our excess death rate never went up. We have about 1.1 million Americans die per year, period. That's it. That's what happens. You know how many Americans died in 2020? 1.1 million Americans. And then they said that there was, at that year, 300,000 COVID deaths, but zero flu deaths and zero pneumonia deaths. Isn't it just reclassification of death then? That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah. Yep.
Shame on those who voted for it. You know you did wrong. You know it. They know. They do. $37 trillion in debt. And this doesn't do anything to lower it, Russ Fote says, until 10 years from now when Trump is no longer in power. Well, we might have J.D. Vance at that time. You might have Marco Rubio. And by the way, you can't trust Rubio for sure. And who knows if we can trust Vance or not yet. We'll see over time. So far, so good. So Elon is right on that so far. I mean, if something else may happen, you realize that you have the right of rescission in Congress. You can cut anything you want anytime you want, and yet they're not doing it. I mean, why is that? If you are really a fiscal conservative, why is it that we would have, basically the numbers are this, just for easy ease of conversation, because there's point this or point that and all of it, but basically we bring in $5 trillion worth of tax revenue every year and we're spending $7 trillion. When Joe Biden, let's just go over it. When Joe Biden was in office, we brought in $5 trillion worth of tax revenue and spent $7 trillion. Now that Trump's in office, everything changed, right? Nope, we're bringing in $5 trillion worth of tax revenue and spending $7 trillion. Doesn't matter what you're spending it on, you're still doing it. Well, we want to increase spending in military. Then cut all the Democratic Party NGOs. Does that make sense? But yet nothing's being cut. Spending more on the border, but not cutting enough in other areas. And you are going to have to attack entitlements like Medicaid and Medicare. You're going to have the courage to do so, and Social Security. You're going to have the courage to do those things. Well, I might lose my job as a politician, as a congressman, congresswoman, president, senator, whatever. Well, a man of integrity will do what's right regardless of the cost. Isn't that correct? But that's not the way that it's, that's not how Capitol Hill works, is it? All right, let's go to the next one. Elon Musk tweet again. It will massively increase the already gigantic budget deficit, $2.5 trillion, it's $2 trillion now, and burden American citizens with crushingly unstable debt. And there it is on the bottom. That's responding to his own tweet. Let me just show you the deficits. Go to the next one for me, Joe. So there it is. I just want you to see this, screenshot these things so you know what's happening in the United States. Here's our deficits. Right here. This is courtesy of World of Statistics. World of Statistics on Twitter. So here it is. Let's just go over this, shall we? So look at our deficit in 2000. 200. Aaron, can you, Aaron, throw in the debt clock again when you have a second. Yeah, you can put it on any time. There you, oh, that's perfect. Look at it now. $236 billion in 2000, 25 years ago. Look at that. Look how far it would be down. That's where we were. Now, you might be thinking, yeah, but look at all that we've gained. What? What? What have you gained? Can you name it? We spent $8 trillion on COVID, roughly. Trillion. Trump spent $3 trillion his first year alone on COVID. What would you get out of it? You got a leaky vaccine that kills people and causes blood clots and 36 million excess deaths from the Society of Actuaries. And by the way, that's only those with life insurance that we know. All right, go back to my other thing. So anyway, another slide from World of Statistics. So 2001, $128 billion. That's our budget deficit. That's how much we spent over the budget. In 2000, we were just under $1 trillion in debt. Just under $1 trillion in debt at that time. Even after that spending right there, we're still under $1 trillion in debt. Now we're almost just shy of $37 trillion in debt. So you go through the entire, look at the entire Bush administration, which was 1 through 8. Look at that. Look at all that. That was our budget deficit. And then you got Hussein Obama. Look at that. 2009. The worst of Bush was $459 billion. Now remember, a trillion is a thousand billions. Now we spend $7,000 billion a year. On what? How does it benefit you? It doesn't. It really is all about enriching the 535 people on Capitol Hill and all of their friends and family. That's it. Just that really is what it's all about. Just so you know, how is it Nancy Pelosi's worth over $200 million? I mean, it really is all about that. Life is really that simple. So Hussein Obama comes in office. His first year in office is actually 2009, remember? So he immediately just about triples it. $1.41 trillion. Next year, $1.9 trillion. $1.3 trillion. $1.07 trillion. Starts to get in trouble for it, so starts lowering it, $680 billion. And 2014, $485. Man, 8 years worth of freaking Obama. What a heresy. $485 billion, $452 billion. People are, now, why is it that at various times he started lowering his debts? He never lowered the debt, but he lowered the deficit because he was getting called out for it. And he got called out for it because he said that the Bush spending was non-patriotic, was anti-American. And then he tripled it himself. I mean, imagine that. You're a politician. And your political rival, you say to your political rival, your debts and deficits are unpatriotic, they're un-American, and then you triple both. So then you have Trump's first year in office, which is 17. He's $665 billion, $779 billion, just shy of $1 trillion in 19, and then comes COVID. $3.13 trillion. And how'd that benefit you? How'd that benefit you? Nothing. They did nothing. They came up with nothing. They did nothing. By the way, you never needed to come up with anything because it was a 99.997% survivable virus. So why do anything? Let the world be flooded with it. Everybody gets immunity just like they should be doing with bird flu instead of culling 600 million birds and causing egg prices to go through the roof. You know what? You just let it go through the population, kills what it kills, which is very few chickens. And then the rest of that generation and all following generations have immunity to that particular bird flu. Life is simple, isn't it? So Trump goes, he failed in 2020, greatly failed in 2020. That's just the way it is. He should have gone the Sweden route. He's way better than the Democrats, certainly better than Democratic Party governors. And he called for basically 60-day quarantine, 60-day shutdown. You know, 60-day, it was 15 days to flatten the curve. And then it was 60, then it was 30 days to flatten the curve. Then it was 60 days to flatten the curve. And then Trump knocked it off. But is still not advocating vaccines anymore, but advocated vaccines really up till about halfway through the last election cycle. And then, of course, you have the Biden spending, which was just glorious, but $2.77 trillion, 2022, $1.38 trillion, 2023, $1.70 trillion, $1.83 trillion in his last year in office. That's all of that money right there on that list is what we don't have that's not coming in tax revenue. And if it was making life great, listen, there's still potholes everywhere and we're $37 trillion in debt. I mean, and I'm talking about interstates that are actually federal highways suck. Federal services suck. I mean, you want a permit or anything. You're talking about weeks, months, days, years. Take the days out of it. It's not days. I mean, the federal services, the Veterans Administration sucks. And we're $37 trillion in debt because it's all about the 535 people on Capitol Hill and their friends and their families. And when I say friends and families, I mean all of their law firms, all the people that work for them, all the people that are part of the Democratic Party apparatchik and the Rhino Party apparatchik. So I just wanted you to see the numbers because, you know, people want to talk about more exciting things, but I'll bring up the example that I brought up a week ago. How did Al Capone end up in federal prison? Tax evasion. It's not sexy, but it finished him. And then he died of VD once he was in there. So here's the post-millennial video. Senator Rand Paul on Fox News with Lil Kane, actually. If the Republicans all vote for it, the Republicans will own the debt. Play for me.
On that note, I want to get you to address the two things we just heard from OMB Director Russ Vogt and one made by the president. First of all, they argue the Big Beautiful Bill puts in place growth measures that you're not accounting for. I've been around this game for a while. You have as well. I do know that growth is something that every administration counts on to offset their spending. But do you not think the president has a point with deregulation and tax cuts that we could see real growth that actually helps not jack up the deficit as is accounted for?
I actually do, and this is where I think the president and I are talking past each other. I accept the growth arguments. I actually accept that cutting taxes can grow revenue. I believe it happened under Reagan. I believe it happened under the first Trump term, and I supported the tax cuts in the first term. I still support them. I support making them permanent, and I do believe they will bring in more revenue than the CBO projects. My objection to the bill isn't about the tax cuts, and it isn't about those calculations. My objection to the bill is they're going to raise the debt ceiling more than they ever have, $5 trillion, and that this will be the largest increase in the debt ceiling ever. And if the Republicans all vote for it, the Republicans will own the debt. They will lose their high moral ground. We will no longer be the party that can say, look at the Democrats. They're the ones, foisting the debt on our country. We're drowning in a sea of debt caused by Democrats, which has largely been true. But I think now they vote for this. So if they separate out the debt ceiling, I could be for the bill.
Every single politician propagandizing and pushing a budget item or budget agenda always talks about the growth. Aaron, do you have the debt set, debt clock? Always says that the growth is going to offset the deficits and debts. Did it work? I mean, this is what's true. Again, you can have both here, folks. You can love Donald Trump as I do and be against the big, beautiful bill. You better be, because that's what's true. Because here we have it once again. I'm very disappointed in Russ Vogt because he knows better. The savings are going to come 10 years from now. That's exactly what Joe Biden said. That's exactly what Billy Clinton said. That's exactly what Herbert Walker Bush said. That's exactly what Ronald Reagan said. That's exactly what Hussein Obama said and George W. Bush said and Trump 1 said, and it never happens. That's what Biden said. It never happens. You'd be a sycophant and say, you just have to vote for it. And the other big argument is, if we have to do this one now so that we stay in office, and then the next one, we're really going to slash the debts and deficits.
Right.
Where? I don't see it. I love Trump, but he's an abysmal failure on the debt. Let's all be honest, shall we? Because Trump himself, in his first 4 years in office, raised the debt by about $5 trillion because of COVID. And it still would have been it was actually more than $5 trillion. It was a little more than that. But he still would have raised it because you saw pre-COVID, we were still operating around $500 billion worth of debt every year. And again, if you're going to operate in debt, then show me the fruit of our labors. Show me how it's improved American life. It doesn't. Again, it goes to the 535 people. That's 435 congressmen and women and 100 senators. That's where it all goes. I mean, seriously. I mean, those 535 people represent millions of people that all that money goes to. Everybody but us. I don't want it. I want to earn my own way. I'm just saying we don't need to be $37 trillion in debt. When we're trying to earn our own way and our dollar is being devalued every second of every day. Do you just count it right now? If you count the next, it's real easy because we're at 36,933,590,000,000. Just went to 591 million. You just count it right now. 19 seconds, or actually about 17 seconds from right now, you're going to see that turn into a two. You just watch it right now. Look at it. It's going to turn into a two in about the next 10 seconds from right now. And here we go. 9, 8, here goes 9. And there's we just spent another $1 million. That's the facts, folks. And it's not stopping with Donald Trump. Doge clock is a complete farce because they're spending all the Doge money again. So every single time they say that the growth is going to offset the spending. First of all, we don't need it to offset crap. The growth needs to eliminate debt, not offset spending. And what's amazing again, and I know you've heard me say this 500 times, is they ought to be changing this for their own self-survival. Because if my dollar means nothing, their dollar means nothing. Nancy Pelosi's $200 million means this, it means as little as my hundreds of thousands of dollars that I have. Right? If my dollar's worthless, because that's what this does, is make all of our money worthless through hyperspending. Again, and I know you hear these stats all the time, but there's new people, and everybody needs to like and share this podcast. We don't have any commercials. We don't have anything. It's just an hour and 10 minutes worth of fury. You need to get this out, because people need to hear these things. They need to hear what's actually true. This ought to be for them self-preservation. Because if all of us lose the value of the dollar, they lose the value of the dollar. But every single time, it's always that. They're going to offset it, or they're putting it off, whatever it is. And now we have the debt ceiling involved in this, where they want to add $5 trillion to this. So it'll go to $42 trillion. How are you conservative? And again, help me understand. Maybe you can give me an answer in the chat. I'm right at the bottom of the chat. Last person that posted anything was producer Aaron. What have we got from this? What? We cured cancer? No. Have we cured hemorrhoids? No. What have we gotten out of it? Nothing.
You got a free car, right?
What did I get?
You got a free car, right?
I got no free nothing.
No? Oh, okay.
I couldn't even get FEMA to pick up trash.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, I got nothing. I mean, so what do we have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have the worst veteran administration that's ever existed. Getting better now under Trump, but it's still horrible. I mean, whatever you want to name, it's horrible. Try to get a federal permit to drill for oil. Okay, you're going to wait for a decade and a half. Anything and everything. Nothing works well. We have 300,000 federal buildings around the United States of America. That's 300,000, by the way. I'm not overstating it. That's an absolute fact. For what? How's that benefited you? 300,000 federal buildings, some of which are $60 million a month to rent. Nobody's actually working there because only 6% of the federal workforce shows up for work every day. But don't worry, because the 535 people, senators and congressmen in office on Capitol Hill, are all getting rich. With the exception of, like I said, out of that 535, about 10 of them are good people. That's about it. Tommy used to say 12. Yeah, it's going down. It's going down. So anyway, that's where we're at. Go to the next one for me. From Adam Hughes, White House only asking for $9.4 billion in Doge cuts.
Oh.
Trump. It's not good, folks. It's not good. Great on the border. Great on many things. I love Trump. My favorite president of all time. Voted for him 3 times. if somehow we figure out a way for him to run in 2028, I'll vote for him again. But I'm just telling you, not good. What are we going to say? Great job, and this is all 4D chess? Aaron, put the clock back up. Not 4D chess unless this goes down. It never has. Never gone down one bit under Donald Trump. Not one freaking bit. Not one bit. And everyone's worried about nuclear war. You might want to worry about this. Yeah. You're talking about nuclear financial war. All right, go back to my Adam Hughes. So White House is only asking for $9.4 billion in Doge cuts out of the alleged $500 billion that they've at least, they only can, it's weird because the Doge clock put $500 billion and Elon claims between $160 and $200 billion, but whatever. So let's make it low. $200 billion that Elon claims that they've cut, which he's right. Now they're only asking, they're gonna claw back $190 billion of the $200 billion that they've cut. This is under Donald J. Trump. He's pimping the bill. White House to ask Congress to codify Doge cuts to USAID and public broadcasting in rescission package. Until the midterms, every rescission package can be passed without a single Democrat vote. In other words, you can rescission. I don't know the singular version of the word rescission, but you can cut. I'll just use the word cut. You can cut anything you want. And there's not a freaking thing they can do about it because you actually, when Donald Trump cuts like USAID through an EO, that gets challenged in court. It shouldn't be because he has executive authority to do so, but there ain't nothing they can do if pretend Christian Mike Johnson does it through a rescission package. You can cut anything you want from Congress because Congress owns the purse. But they don't ever do it because they're not Republicans. They're not conservatives. Mike Johnson owns that seat out of Louisiana, so a real conservative doesn't take it. He's saving the seat like you save a seat in a movie theater. He saves it with his own butt so nobody else sits in it. Rescind. Thanks, Aaron. I knew Aaron was typing away over there. Let me go back. Until the midterms, every rescission package can be passed without a single Democrat vote. Reagan, because you have to have a simple majority to rescind. Reagan sent 600 rescission proposals to Congress, proposing $283 billion. That's when we really had no debt. Few billion dollars in debt. Reagan wanted it all gone. So credit to Reagan on that, although he never got it done. And Reagan spent a lot too, cut a lot of taxes, spent a lot of money, and didn't balance the cuts with the spending. In budget cuts, Congress only passed $48 billion of those cuts under Ronald Reagan. Hopefully, Trump plans many more rescission packages. Hopefully, he does. Maybe that's the plan. Listen, I'm going to show you positive stuff in a minute. Positive stuff about inflation under Donald Trump, which is fantastic. He's doing great. Terrible on the debt, though. The only problem with the debt is it the iceberg? Where you've got the Titanic's great. Painted great, got a great crew, great food, great music, great entertainment, but there's an iceberg. Is that really symbolic? Trump's doing great on the border, great in foreign policy, great with treaties, great on inflation, great with new jobs. I mean, great, 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 great with the military. Great. Really awesome. If he deals with the debt, he's the greatest president of all time. If he lowers the debts and deficits, he legitimately lowers them. Not Potomac two-step lowering them, where you're lowering the rate of increase. We're lowering the debt. We're lowering the deficit. Last year, it was $2.8 trillion. And this year, it's $2.9 trillion. How did you lower it then? Oh, we didn't really lower the bottom line. We lowered the rate of increase. That's how Potomac two-step works. That's Washington, D.C. That's establishment swamp, Washington, D.C. All right, go to the next one for me. Nick Sorter tweet. Here's the trick that the GOP is playing. House GOP is a brilliant tweet. This is brilliant. Literally high IQ brilliant. House GOP is hoping they can stall and delay Doge cuts until they lose the House in 2026. Tom, you're telling me they want to lose? Look at me now. Yes. And when have they ever been successful? How good did Paul Ryan do with his majority? He purposely lost it. Remember, he actually resigned? He purposely lose because they are actually activists for the Democrats. I'm not kidding you. It is that way. Paul Ryan is married to an absolute Democratic Party acolyte. How could you, if you really believed in conservatism, you marry a leftist? How would that even remotely work when those are your convictions? That's what they owe. Mike Johnson is exactly like Paul Ryan. He couldn't have bent over any faster for all the Biden spending packages. Couldn't have bent over any faster. He doesn't just bend over. He grabs his ankles. He doesn't even grab his ankles. He grabs the bottom of his feet. That's Mike Johnson. And they're hoping to lose in 2026. So they get to be the loyal opposition and give sound bites. Oh, we hate this. You know, we're totally against this. It's just like that. How many times did they vote to rescind? I'm glad you gave me that word, Aaron. Rescind Obamacare. Mm. How many times? They kept voting for it when they didn't have the votes to actually rescind it. Remember? And then when they finally did, John McCain was the deciding vote and voted to keep it. I mean, I think it was 8 times, they voted to get rid of Obamacare, to take it down, when they knew that they didn't have the votes to do it. So they kept voting for it because they knew they couldn't take it down. And then when they could take it down, they left up because they're actually Democrats. I'm not saying that they're weak Republicans. I'm saying that they are actually Democrats. We really are. That's who they're comfortable with. That way, going back to Nick Sartor, that way they can say, look, the Democrats are blocking us from Doge cuts. Do you see it? Do you see it? I mean, literally, they are blocking Doge cuts themselves, but they want to lose. So they can say Democrats are doing it. Yep. So then they get to keep their seat because they're allegedly an activist for you. Don't you see it? See the giant con job that it is? And you're speaking to and looking at a lifelong Republican who doesn't believe in a third party. I believe we need to take over the Republican Party using the Bannon plan. So that's what they're doing. They're purposely losing so that their party, the Republicans are purposely losing so that their party, which is actually the Democratic Party, will be in power and they'll get to fraudulently keep their seats by acting like our warriors in Washington, D.C. advocating for us. Don't you see it? It's exactly what they're doing. They want to lose to their party, which is actually the Democrats. So that when the Democrats are in power, which is actually that's the Republicans' actual party, they get to keep their seats as Republicans, holding those seats hostage from real conservatives, and then to do that, they just simply act like they're opposing Democrats when they're not. That's exactly what's going on, folks. You need to understand that out of the 535 on Capitol Hill, Senate and House, maybe 10, 12 are good. That's it. That is the truth, whether you like it or not. And you'll see some video come out that makes you think, well, no, that's a solid, you know, whether it's John Kennedy or, you know, whoever, Tom Cotton, even Lindsey Graham will come out and ingratiate himself to us every now and then. It's so that he can stay in office and hold that seat hostage so a legitimate conservative can never have it. As Lindsey Graham votes with the Democrats about 60% of the time. All right, let's go to the next one. So there's all the negative. Here's the positive. Because Trump is a great president. Tom, how can you say that when I've run down one aspect of Donald Trump, the big, beautiful bill, which is an absolute abomination. Elon says it. It's true. We all were singing Elon's praises, 2 weeks ago? Doge, and we loved every minute of it. I couldn't get enough of it. I loved running through my Doge cut list, and now Elon's wrong? He's not wrong. He's right. Unless Trump comes in with a rescission package. He passes this bill, and maybe it is 4D chess. Listen, if there's anybody that could conduct Davy Jones style like Aaron, 4D chess, it's Trump. Trump could do it. And he comes in, passes the big, beautiful bill, and then attacks it with rescission packages. That could happen. And if anybody could do it, it'd be Donald J. Trump, because he is at least the greatest president of all time, or if he attacks the debt, he is. And if he doesn't, he's one of the greatest presidents of all time. But here's the positive part. Inflation in full retreat. Peter St. Ange, play for me.
4 months into Trump, inflation is in full retreat and wages are soaring at the fastest pace since May of 2021, back when pandemic labor shortages were pumping artificial wages. The good news comes from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, who reports that personal income last month rose $210 billion, a 10% annualized rate. That follows strong numbers in Trump's previous 3 months, doubling the rate of income growth compared to Biden's last year. The income number blew away Wall Street expectations. In fact, it was triple what the market expected, perhaps because Wall Street's Bloomberg terminals told them orange man bad. Even better, inflation came in at just 1.2% annualized on the Fed's preferred index, the PCE. That's also half Joe Biden's final year. It's actually one-fifth Joe Biden's final month. Put them together, and in 4 months, Trump has made up over half the income losses of Biden's 4 years. The biggest number last week was the trade deficit, which collapsed by half to just $88 billion, down from $162. This drove the Fed's GDP model to now predicting 3.8% GDP growth for this quarter, which is very good. Now, you may recall just a few weeks ago, GDP was negative, and I said, don't worry. Well, this is why. That negative print was partly falling government spending, which is good for growth since government was wasting it, but it was mostly tariff front-running, companies importing ahead of Trump's big, beautiful tariffs. That matters because imports mechanically subtract from official GDP numbers, but companies import stuff because they plan to sell it, at which point it turns into future GDP, either consumption from cars to clothes to pool floats, or investment from imported tractors and backhoes to industrial machinery. Now, media, of course, ran with the negative number because they have a story to sell, and they figure the audience will forget when that 3.8% GDP comes in. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Most of Trump's economic agenda is rocket fuel for incomes. So cutting taxes, cutting red tape, cutting government spending all boost production and return resources to the American people where they can do something useful. Meanwhile, deportations mean American workers do not have to compete with third world wages. Even tariffs, which usually don't boost wages, are currently pulling in historic rates of foreign investment, $5 trillion in just 4 months. That would double investment in the American economy and drive up wages for American workers building factories and infrastructure. And if Trump can actually close some trade deals, it could permanently drive up wages. More could be done, of course. Democrats and their pet judges are doing everything they can to block deportations. Rhinos in Congress are doing everything they can to keep government spending trillions while the American people do without. But Trump doubling income growth and cutting inflation in half is pretty impressive for 4 months, especially with zero help from the Fed or Congress. The main concern from here is government spending. If rhinos in Congress don't cut, it could drive inflation back up, returning us to the Biden-era treadmill of incomes trying or failing to outrun prices. There's some hopeful signs from the Senate, with fiscal conservatives demanding more spending cuts out of the big, beautiful budget. If that happens, we're in store for a lot more big, beautiful numbers on the economy. A new episode of the...
So there you go. Now, a couple of things to mention. One thing not to forget, Trump has secured $14 trillion worth of foreign and domestic investment into the United States economy whether it's fossil fuels, AI chips, server farms, everything else. So tons and tons. He's only just begun. That's in his first quarter, first quarter of his second administration. So what will he secure by the end of this year? Who knows? Maybe another $10 trillion, which will offset debts and deficits over a period of time if they regulate government spending. The other thing to remember is, even with all of this and my own negativity, because you have to be negative. You have to talk. If reality and truth is negative, you have to say it. But in Trump's first quarter, he did cut government spending for the first time in recent history. That is the truth. So, maybe there's rescission strategies coming up after the big, beautiful bill gets passed, with some other rescissions coming out of Congress and the Senate when it gets passed, or senators or congressmen demanding rescissions prior to it passing. So that's the only thing. So we just don't know. And Trump's credit, government spending is down right now for the first time in recent history. That's the truth. Income growth best since May of 2021. Inflation at 1.2%, which is one-fifth of where Biden was at when he left office. So, listen, he's doing great. I mean, literally, you're looking at a B plus, A minus, really. And the only reason why it's not an A plus is because of debts and deficits, the big, beautiful bill. And trade deficit down from $170 billion to $88 billion in the first quarter. People don't accomplish, please understand something. People don't accomplish that in two terms. Trump's done it in 130 days? So, I mean, amazing things. Absolutely amazing things. Another amazing thing. At the border, Gabriel Vizil, video. Trump on fire. No more NGOs at the border. Play for me.
They are gone. Brought you guys a few weeks ago out here, showcased all of this, how they were still going against President Trump's orders. This is all gone, guys. This is all gone. All that's left of them here is this, their little logo, Los Samaritanos. Told you we were coming for you. So just a few weeks ago, I brought you guys out. He had the NGO, No More Deaths, and Los Samaritanos singing Kumbaya, burning fire with illegal criminal aliens being brought across, incentivized, and having them wait here for Border Patrol while other individuals were trekking and running across the other side. That is now gone. And we told them, Tom Holman's coming for you. You're on notice, Pastor Ray. Tom Holman is coming for you, bro.
Okay. Are we, Stephen?
Okay. Look at this.
There's a pastor enabling people to commit felonies. Great job, Pastor. Hey, Aaron, one more time with the debt clock. Let me just show you this now. What matters? I see, you know, there's very, you know, I don't know how many different opinions there are, you know, in the chat or whatever, or whoever's watching, different opinions. All that will matter is this go down. That's all that matters. If you're saying that Trump has a 4D plan, 4D chess, I'm not putting that past Donald Trump. He's brilliant. He honestly could do it through rescission packages after the BBB is passed. But nobody is right about Trump is in control of the debt or Trump is going to lower the debt. Nobody is. Or that growth is going to offset spending at debts and deficit spending. Nobody's right about any of that if this continues the way that it is. So this is the eye in the sky that does not lie right here. You can watch it right now. Right in about 10 seconds from right now, another million will have been spent. From right now. It's coming. Here it comes. Right now. Here it comes. And 653.
See, it's gone.
It's gone. There it is. That's nothing has changed. So now in 100, and I think we're somewhere close to 130 days that Trump's been off in office now. I didn't expect this to change at that point. But going into next year, this should be changing. But if the big, beautiful bill stays as is, this isn't going to change. All right, let's go to a different subject. Just a news tweet. I just had to show you this because it's just a point of privilege, and we're going to talk about some more Trump stuff. Just the news. Maxine Waters' campaign fined thousands of dollars for violating federal finance laws. AOC's also facing possible problems with that. So is Jasmine Crockett, all these people, because what they do are personally enriching themselves using campaign finances. All you need to do, as I always say, is this. You get $2 million that gets donated to your campaign, and you use $1 million of the $2 million, so you got $1 million left over. So you start a nonprofit, or you just start, just a nonprofit for, you know, naming it whatever, the Waters Project. And then you pay your spouse, or like she likes to do, her daughter, to run it. Who then gives the money back to her? Ilhan Omar gave $3 million to her husband for consultancy fees. Bernie Sanders did the same with $10 million to his wife. You wonder why he's a socialist with three houses? That's what they do. They just start a foundation and give their campaign money to it. It's how it all works. It's how they all enrich themselves. Eric Swalwell travels the globe using his campaign finance. He lives the life of a multi-millionaire because in his campaign account are millions of dollars and he just uses them for there's always a reason. I'm going there. I'm going to the Bahamas to investigate the various types of sand and how they're affected by climate change. So he goes on a multi-million dollar trip to the Bahamas using his campaign finances. That's all that it's all about. That's why I'm just shocked Trump's not attacking it. is that's what all the money is going to in Washington, D.C., is to form Democratic Party NGOs that fully staffed by Democrats, hiring Democrats, hiring consultancy firms, hiring law firms, and donating to campaigns. You and I fund Planned Parenthood. You and I fund Democratic Party campaigns because Planned Parenthood then funds campaigns through their NGO. They are an NGO, so they fund Democratic Party campaigns. So you and I, you and I finance Carrie Lake's campaign opponent. What was his name? Gallego. Ruben Gallego. We financed him because Planned Parenthood sent like $100 million to oppose Carrie Lake in Arizona. You and I paid for that. That's what it's all. I mean, that you and I have personally enriched. George Soros never spends his own money. You realize all that money that he uses to elect his prosecutors, 75 of them around the United States. Those are the AGs. Those are like the attorney generals. Those are not just. He elects lots of line prosecutors also, you know, small time prosecutors, but 75 big name prosecutors that he had elected around the United States. That's all used. That money is all NGO money spent. That the NGO money that you and I gave to the federal government and the federal government used to create and finance Democratic Party fully staffed NGOs. And then George Soros uses that NGO money to elect our political opposition. So you and I actually pay for the campaigns. Most, if not all, to some degree, we pay for the campaigns of Democrats, including Alvin Bragg in NYC and Letitia James. Both of them, Soros acolytes, paid for, you know, by Act Blue. Act Blue, another NGO, financed by you and I. Do they get other contributions? They do, but they're from other NGOs. So they're also financed by us. It really is. You and I elect our own political opposition. You and I elect the people that ban our speech and want to confiscate our firearms. You and I elect our own political opposition. We don't know that we're doing it, but we actually do. All right, let's go to the next thing here. Western Lensman video. I have to show you how this works. This is New York Times, PBS. This is this guy here, side by side. The guy there, the white guy with the glasses, this guy is David Brooks. He is the conservative on the New York Times PBS show. David Brooks is his name. And he likens Elon Musk to Pol Pot, Mao, and Stalin. Play for me.
And so there's folks at Boston University who count. How many people have died because of what Doge did at USAID? And USAID was a very ill-managed organization. That's true. But according to the Boston University folks, so far 55,000 adults have died of AIDS in the 4 months since Trump was elected. 6,000 children are dead because of what Doge did. That's just PEPFAR, the HIV. You add them all up, that's 300,000 dead, and we're 4 months in. Now, you accumulate that over 4 years, the number of dead grows very high. There are mass murderers in the world, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, Stalin. We don't have anybody on the list from America. And I don't think it's the same as committing the kind of genocide they did. But by taking away that agency and being at least semi-responsible for the deaths of probably by the end of this, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, that's Elon Musk's legacy. And the people who work at Tesla and SpaceX,
I don't think what Elon Musk did was, Aaron, can you leave his pickup for me and side by side at some point here? Yeah, I don't care what he looks like. It doesn't matter what position he's frozen. That's probably what you got right there. But anyway, I'm not saying that he's like these people, that Elon Musk's atrocities are like these people, but he's just like these people. This is the conservative. This is my point. This is the same as Congress. This is the conservative on the show. And this guy is the conservative so that he keeps the seat of the legitimate conservative, so that he actually occupies the seat of a legitimate conservative. So they just name somebody who's obviously a bourgeois leftist, globalist, elitist Democrat. They name him Republican so that they can say that the show has a designated Republican seat. Put Dave Brooks there so that we don't have to have a legitimate conservative. That's exactly what's going on Capitol Hill at the 535. 100 seats in the Senate, 435 seats in Congress. Put fake Republicans in legitimate conservative seats. What I mean by legitimate conservative seats is this. There's no way a Democrat gets elected right here. There's no way that that anybody unseats Greg Stube. And Greg Stube is our congressman. We've had him on the podcast. And it seems to be legit, like a legit conservative. He votes against keeping his own job. Like, he votes hardcore. He votes as he should vote. But anyway, there's no way a Democrat gets elected. So what you do is you get a Dave Brooks, who campaigns locally as a conservative and then legislates as a Democrat. That's what they always do. And again, out of the 535, basically 525 of them do just that. Well, that's not right, because that includes Democrats. Most Republicans campaign as a Republican, campaign as a conservative, then legislate as a Democrat. The same thing on these talking head shows. Anna Navarro on The View is supposed to be a Republican. What's her name, Aaron? Alyssa Farah? Is that the other? Alyssa Farah is supposed to be a Republican on The View. They don't say one Republican thing, but they're just like Lindsey Graham, who only votes for Republican legislation, Republican initiatives, 43% of the time. 43% of the time. Mike Lee, 93% of the time. So you put a guy on like this who is a Republican, so because you have to have a Republican, you have to have a Republican position on the show, so put a fake one in there, so you don't have to put a real one on there. So that's what they do. And David Brooks says, I'm not saying that Elon is like Pol Pot, except for Elon's just like Pol Pot, Mao, and Stalin. Right. That's what he said. So go to the next one for me, Insurrection Barbie tweet. Cutting USAID. So he says, you know, David Brooks says, he starts naming all these numbers. This is how many people have died because USAID funding was cut. Now, David Brooks knows this, but he's spouting false propaganda that U.S. aid is aid. They're aiding people. Is it aid? No, it's the United States Agency for International Development. It's a CIA cutout. Purposely put in place as a CIA cutout by John F.K. by John Kennedy, JFK. That's what happened. So that's all USAID did. So where does he get these numbers from? He's just making them up. It's like 6 foot distancing. Just like 1.2 million Americans died of COVID, but our excess deaths went up none. How did all these people die of COVID? They didn't. They just reassessed all the other deaths from pneumonia and everything else. Remember, we showed you that. Right out of Minnesota, you had the woman in charge. I don't know what you call it, Minnesota, but basically their version of the CDC inside of Minnesota, their health department, come up and say, this is what we're doing. I don't know if she was committing. Either she was stupid or she was brave. One of the two. Seriously, it was one of the two. And she went up to the podium and said, what we are doing is if we have somebody who has stage four lung cancer, and we do a PCR test on them, and they, you know, die a week later, and the PCR tests, they were positive of COVID, but they're in hospice. She even used the example. They have stage four lung cancer with 2 weeks left to live, and they're in hospice care. And they test positive of COVID, and they die. They're gonna be put down as a COVID death. So how do these people come up with these statistics? The big statistic that's being propagated right now is the one that Insurrection Barbie put out. Cutting USAID funding, which is the U.S. Agency for International Development, has nothing to do with aiding people. And by the way, we put this out on this podcast before, as well as many others, people put it out, that only 8% of their funding ever went to their target. Only 8% of USAID's funding ever went to what it was designated to fund. Where did the rest of it go? Again, the example. USAID receives, tens of billions of dollars per year, 14,000 employees, remember, until Trump cut it down to about 300 employees. But they're still basically funding it via the big, beautiful bill. But now USAID is under Marco Rubio. So why are we still doing it? And this guy, it's still being funded, but yet this guy's claiming that 300,000 kids are dead. They're just making it up. There's no other way to put it. It's just made up out of whole cloth. 300,000 kids are dead. Stand 6 feet apart. Close your businesses. Make sure you get alcohol gel out to clean surfaces for an airborne virus. I mean, again, does he know? Is he just stupid? Whatever it may be. But there's no way for him to prove. Show me the line item of all the kids that have died and how they've died from an agency that never actually sends money to where it's supposed to send money, to where the money is designated to go. 8% of all of their money actually goes to where it's supposed to go, which is the Democratic Party NGO. And the USAID is an NGO inside of government. So it's a non-government, it's an NGO inside of the government. But it's the standard system. They receive, let's make the math simple, $1 billion to feed children. And they pay themselves $999 million to spend $1 million feeding kids. That's what they do. Every single time, 8% of their money went to its designation, where it was supposed to go. 8%. And this guy's claiming that because USAID was cut, all these kids died. None of the money was going to them anyway. And by the way, USAID doesn't feed kids, doesn't vaccinate kids. It's not aid. It's Agency for International Development. Only 8% of USAID money even makes it to its right destination. It certainly hasn't killed 300,000 kids. Show me the bodies, just like during COVID. I said it for 4 years and 15 days to flatten the curve. Show me the bodies. Maybe I'll believe you. Show me the bodies. There aren't any. All right, go to the next one for me. I don't even know where I'm at. Is it Insurrection Barbie video? Yeah, it is. So here it is again. This is Aaron side by side that. Here is the conservative on The View, Anna Navarro, the Insurrection Barbie titled this, "The Toxic Fake Weaponized Empathy." Play it for me.
You know, but here's the problem. It's not just Joni Ernst. The lack of empathy, the lack of humanity, the lack of decency that I am seeing all over the country with the suffering that Donald Trump and his misadministration are inflicting on people living in this country, our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, the children who go to school with our children. I'm seeing it in South Florida, where I live, where most of our representatives are Republican. And the suffering and fear that the Latino community is undergoing in Miami and South Florida, all over the country. The windows of their cars are getting smashed. They're getting dragged through the streets by men in masks who are picking them. Children are being torn from the arms of their mothers. And this is happening, and our Republican Congress people aren't saying a damn thing because they are more scared of Trump right now than they are scared of losing their seats. And that has got to change because we have no guardrails right now. We have no checks and balances. There is no oversight. If we want that to change, as you always say, it is on us. And we can change it by making sure that there are Democrats elected next year so that there is some guardrail and some oversight. Because at the same time that they are dragging Latinos all over the streets of America and treating them worse than we would allow animals to be treated in this country, he's opening up the doors and sending a U.S. taxpayer-funded plane to go pick up white Afrikaners fleeing from a non-existent genocide.
Yeah. You're illegal. You should be nervous. And by the way, none of that, not one thing she said is occurring is actually happening. None of it. Windows are not being smashed. Children are not being torn from the arms of their mothers. Show me the videos. Show me the videos of the transgenocide. Show me the videos of the children being torn from their mother's arms. Show me. It's not happening. It's just fake. It's just like you had David Brooks accusing Elon Musk of being Pol Pot, Mao, and Stalin all joined together in some sort of hell amalgam. All lies from these alleged Republicans, David Brooks and Anna Navarro. Republicans need to show Scarborough. And all three of them are exactly the same as 90% of the Republicans on Capitol Hill, even the ones that put together great sound bites and then legislate as a Democrat. Because all they're doing is holding the seats that only conservatives can have by fooling people into voting for them. That's all that's happening. All right, 1016, that's it. Rumble rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. PSU, $47. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless each and every one of you.